It's a summer you will remember for a very long time. Today marks the end of the official bushfire season, a season which started early and would become the most devastating bushfire season in our state's history. Fire services responded to more than 11,400 fires, burning more than 5.5 million hectares, which is the equivalent of 6.2% of the state. And tragically, 25 people lost their lives. To mark the official end of the season, we're joined now by the Rural Fire Service Commissioner, Shane Fitzsimmons. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fiona.
Is it a relief to see the end of the season?
I don't know that relief is the right word. Oh, sure, we've got the relief from the intensity, but it's a season, I think, that has affected us all in many different ways. It's been the worst ever season we've experienced on record in so many levels. We've seen the worst of weather. We've seen the worst of underlying conditions, landscape conditions because of the drought. We've seen the worst fire danger ratings ever experienced in the state across geographic areas that just haven't experienced that before. We've seen extraordinary damage, destruction, despair, the tragedy of loss of life, 25% of the mountain ranges, the forested country, burnt. We've seen an extraordinary toll in livelihoods, in farms, in businesses, in communities. 2,400 homes destroyed, but at the same time, 14,400 saved in the same area. We saw the very worst of conditions, but we also saw not just damage and destruction, but the tragedy of loss of life, the extraordinary impact on families and individuals. And despite all of that backdrop of damage, despair, destruction, we saw the very best of people. We saw a unity. We saw an outpouring of love and support, togetherness, a real sense of community that pulled together, starting with our firefighters, our volunteers, of course, the fire services in New South Wales, RFS Fire and Rescue, National Parks Forestry, all the police and emergency services, the biggest ever interstate assistance mission into New South Wales with every state and territory assisting, New Zealand, Canada, United States. It brought out the very best in our people, and just as they were getting through the awfulness of the fire season, the whole community, the whole of Australia, the whole of the world is now dealing with this awful virus.
I was only thinking today of the last time that I saw you and was talking face to face, and the whole community coming together to thank our volunteers, you know, at a community get together. Oh, to have a community get together again.
Oh, absolutely. And that was at Laurieton, wasn't it? We did that one at Laurieton.
Lake Cat Eye.
Oh, Lake Cat Eye, sorry. Yep. Quite correct. Yeah, that's right. So, and It was a very special day. It was a way for people to come out and share. And whether it was that sort of thank you event or any control centre that I visited or any fire line, any recovery centre, relief centre, evacuation centre, there were people there giving. There were people there absolutely worried, frightened, in despair because they've lost everything or they've lost loved ones. But there was a togetherness. There was a unity of support. There was an outpouring of support. People were visiting areas just to lend a hand. And then we saw extraordinary generosity with the opening of doors of people's homes for temporary accommodation, the attending some of these relief centres to help package and service food and other products, and of course, the generosity of giving through donations and funding support for those that needed it and those that could benefit from it. There was something very special about community, notwithstanding the enormity of damage and destruction. And our focus has to remain there too, Fiona. Like, while we are really struggling with this, you know, isolating ourselves and restrictions of interaction, we've got to remember that there are communities right up and down the ranges that are still trying to work out how they're going to recover and rebuild from the impact of these fires. And this virus is really compounding their anxiety and their distress.
As a leader faced with a situation such as we had at times, there was one day I think we got to 17 fires at emergency level. How do you handle that personally?
Well, we've never seen it before. And personally, all you've got to do is rely on the team. We've got the best people available, employed and volunteering and focused on the task at hand. And you've got to rely on all that's been built in terms of trust, in terms of training, in terms of equipment and infrastructure, the investment in information and warning systems, the leverage we've got through media, through radio, through TV, through online tools. We've got to pull everything together in that most awful of time. And I remember on that day, our worst ever experience in New South Wales was maybe 3 or 4 or 5 fires getting to emergency warning at once. But to have 17 or 18 all at once, everyone desperately wanting resources, everyone having, you know, impact on properties, that was very difficult to process through. But everyone understood the gravity of the situation. Everyone appreciated that they weren't alone in the firefight. They weren't alone in the risk and the threat and the impact. And everyone was doing their very best to try and save and protect as much as possible and as many people as possible.
You lost 3 US aerial firefighters and 3 of your own volunteers. We'll never forget the pictures of those memorial services and the children that have been left behind. That must just be so hard to be there and see that.
It's truly awful, Fiona, and I think the lives of so many have been changed forever, and our thoughts will forever be with the families and loved ones of all those that lost their lives. But we especially, you know, pay tribute and remember the families of Ian Macbeth, Paul Hudson and Rick De Morgan, the aviators who were out here working to help us save lives and save communities. But of course there's something particularly special about our 3 volunteers and their families, you know, Jeff and Andrew and Sam, who were out there for the want of nothing in return, giving of themselves selflessly to make a difference in their community, and as it turns out, communities much further afield from their home base, and to have the most tragic of circumstances befall them with the most extraordinary of accidents, with the tree down and that extraordinary weather event that flipped the truck. They are absolutely, when you go to those services, when you go to the funerals and the state memorial service, we are paying tribute to absolute heroes, and we owe it to ourselves, we owe it to the families, particularly the wives and those little children, and Sam's little bub is due in May, only a couple of months away now, their first baby for him and Megan. We owe it to them to make sure they never forget that their dads died as absolute heroes, giving selflessly to the cause of others and trying to save and protect life. And if it wasn't for what they did and all that they represent, an example across the Great Dividing Range this season and right across the country, we know that communities would be very much the poorer if it wasn't for their individual and collective efforts. And sadly, with the intensity of fire, with the concentration of damage, as tragic as 25 lives are that have been lost this season, it's truly horrific. It's the worst toll ever in our history in New South Wales. We know the death toll should have been counted in the hundreds if it wasn't for the collective effort of everybody to try and put these things out, to prepare, to inform, to warn, and to see people making considered, sensible decisions based on the advice they were getting, the advice they were hearing, the advice they were seeing on TV. We have learnt a lot over the decades, and out of this awful season, we owe it to everybody that suffered damage and indeed suffered loss, and particularly loss of loved ones, to make sure we get as many learnings as we can to continue to improve, to build more resilient communities, more resilient systems and infrastructure to better withstand bushfires and other disasters going forward.
That was my final question. What lessons do we need to take away from what we've been through?
Anything that we can furnish out of all the feedback from this season. Now, already there is no doubt in my mind that no matter how sophisticated the firefighting effort is, no matter how much weight you throw at the firefighting effort, no many trucks, no many people, aircraft, machinery on the ground, under the sorts of conditions we experienced this fire season, you simply can't put those fires out. So you've got to default to doing the very best you can to put them out as much as you can, to try and put them out, slow them down, and limit their impact into things that matter to people. But also, whilst you're doing all you can in the firefighting effort, the difference today to, say, a decade ago is chalk and cheese when it comes to public information and warnings. And our ability to get information from the field, from the firefighters on the front line, giving us accurate and timely information about where the fire is and what it's up to and how far it's progressing, to get that through to a state level, convert that to public information and warnings on our website, out through all our media channels, and And Fiona, the likes of yourself and all your colleagues around the state, the fact that we've got over 5,000 accredited media people that have done bushfire safety and awareness training, that understand the messages, that understand the language, it's critical to converting a very complex, dynamic, dangerous firefighting situation into considered, straightforward, common sense language to try and give people information and advice so they can make decisions to save themselves, save their families, and try and save as much as they can in their livelihoods. We've learned a lot over the decades. We've invested very heavily, and I am in no doubt that those investments contributed to the saving of lives. The firefighting effort, but also the information and warnings, people making decisions, people working together, saved us from counting a death toll in the hundreds, albeit that 25 is tragic, and I don't mean to be insensitive in any way, but the reality is it could have and should have been a whole lot worse if we didn't have all those learnings from the past. We've got to take that same approach out of this fire season, and whatever we can learn, no matter how little it is, no matter how significant it is, we've got to work out how to convert that into operational policy, state policy that then lends itself to building more resilient communities, better workforces, better sophistication with firefighting techniques, early detection techniques, fire management throughout the year, and then, of course, ongoing improvements to public information, warnings and messaging.
We're getting some text messages through saying what a truly good man is Shane Fitzsimmons. Amazing man he is, and he did a great job. And I echo all those thoughts. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Fiona. That's very kind. Appreciate it.